Easter morning is always a special morning. And to begin our sermon this morning, I'd like for us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Starting in verse 1, as we read what Paul wrote the church of Corinth. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." This Sunday, Christians from all around the world come together to celebrate this story. It's the story of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we Christians would all agree that this story is central to our faith as believers. But I want to point out this morning that this story is more than just the retelling of Scripture. This story, the story of the cross and the empty tomb, is part of our identity in personhood as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you may say, well, what do I mean by that? Well, we're going to spend most of our time this morning in Galatians chapter 2, looking at verse 20. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, as we look at verse 20, and Paul said this, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." So when Paul wrote those words, "I have been crucified with Christ," did that mean that Paul was physically crucified with Christ? Well, of course not. That would be silly. But what did Paul mean? What was he trying to say when he said, "I have been crucified with Christ"? John Stott, in his famous book, The Cross of Christ, points out that Paul is answering the charge of antinomianism. Now you may say, what does that word mean? That word means that because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can sin at will and it's okay because you have the blood covering of Jesus Christ. That's what that word means. And that's what he's trying to answer as he writes the church. And what he's saying is, in verse 2:19, the verse before that, he says, "For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God." So he's died to the law. He's been crucified with Christ. And as Paul tries to answer this problem that he's dealing with in the church, and for our sake today, let's just call it easy grace, that you can sin at will because you believe in Jesus. And so as Stott answers and points out that what Paul is trying to do is to say that your old sinful life has received the condemnation that it deserved. Let me repeat that. That your old sinful life has received the condemnation that it deserved. In other words, Christ paid your sin debt in your place and in my place. So if Christ paid my sin debt upon the cross, if Christ paid your sin debt on the cross, if all of the wrath of God that was meant for you and me was placed upon Jesus Christ at the cross, you and I can say, I have been crucified with Christ. Because what was meant for me and what was meant for you was placed upon the Lord Jesus as He endured the cross. I have been crucified with Christ. I want to point out a couple of things. One is that I want to point out the fact that Paul says this personally. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. See, in order for us to come to a saving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a personal experience, isn't it? When you and I come to the Lord, we realize what Christ Jesus has done, and we recognize that fact, and we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We accept Him personally. It's a personal experience. I have been crucified with Christ. The other thing that I want to point out in that regard is that I is self. I have been crucified. My old life, my old way of doing things has been crucified with Christ. I've always said this, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's true that you can't spell sin without the letter I. You can't spell sin without the letter I. And any time we let I get ahead of God, we find ourself in sin. Self puts us in sin. I can't read my Bible because I don't have enough time. I can't pray because I can't go to church because I'm about to sin and it God understands because I. It's self. That's our old life. That's our old life apart from Christ Jesus when we live a life of self. And that life of selfishness, that life of doing things without regard for anybody else, and especially in the light of God, has been placed upon the cross and it has been crucified through the wonderful gift that you and I have through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our past life. Galatians 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Having become a curse for us. That's what we have. And this is our identity this morning as we come together on Easter Sunday. We have, you and I individually, have an identity with Jesus Christ, and that begins at the cross of Christ. You know, it's gotten fashionable for a lot of people who do not know Jesus Christ to wear the cross of Christ. It's become a fashion symbol, but for us as believers who wear the cross of Christ, it's something special, isn't it? It's our identity. We're telling the world when we wear a cross of Christ that this is who I am. This is what I'm about. This is part of my personhood, the cross of Christ. It is part of our union with Him. We are united with Him in death. When Paul wrote, I have been crucified with Christ. But there's another part of that union as well. And that is His life. Because Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Not only are we united with Christ in His death, we're united with Christ in the empty tomb and the resurrection. It's why we've come here together this morning, and why we worship together is that we identify not with an idea, not with a historical event, but we identify with the personhood of Jesus Christ. And He's alive right now, and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He's interceding for you and me as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we worship a person, and His name is Jesus. And not only do we worship Him, but we also live by Him. It is no longer I who live. The old life's been done away with. It's been crucified. The new life that we have, we live through Christ Jesus. Just as in the verse before, in verse 19 of Galatians 2, Paul said, "For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God." See, we're not talking about legalism. We're not talking about morality. We're not talking about a checklist. We're talking about who you are. Wouldn't it be easy for us to go, well, here's a checklist, and these are the 10 things that you have to do each day, and if you do these 10 things and you check off the list, well, then it's all right. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about a new life, the new person that we are through Christ Jesus. And we, as Paul says, we live to God. And the reason why I want to point this out is that so many times we could gather together on Easter Sunday and we could just be heavenly minded. We can just say, I gave my life to God and I can live however I want. And then, yeah, one day it's great. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven and I don't have anything to worry about. And God understands that I'm frail and I'm weak in that period between when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and then when I'm called home. It's okay. That's not what the gospel says. The gospel says that we are to live to God, that we are to serve God right now. See, the reason why we come together for Easter Sunday is not only the hope that you and I will be in heaven, but also we come together because we have a new life in Jesus Christ. Right now, at this very moment, where we can say, I am living not for legalism, not for morality, not for anything else. The only thing that I'm living for is for Jesus Christ. And that is the union that we have with Him. And in fact, in Galatians 5:24, Paul wrote this, "And those who are Christ," that's us, right? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, those who are Christ, that's us, "have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." We're to be walking in the Spirit. We're to be following Christ Jesus. And that's the thing that we celebrate on Easter, is that we have a new life. Our old life was crucified with Christ. Our new life is through Christ in the empty tomb. In fact, turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 5, Paul wrote the church of Rome, and he said this, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. We've got several important questions then to ask ourselves with these group of verses in Romans 6. And one of those, am I alive for God? Am I living for God? Am I concerned about that? I mean, I think it's important that we all evaluate our life after we recognize that we've received this wonderful gift through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we recognize that we have a union with Him and a personhood with Him and that we're bound together, am I living for Jesus? Am I presenting myself to God? As Paul wrote, I die daily. You and I should take that upon ourselves too. That every day we have to reflect on our life and say, am I being the person and the child of God that God would have me live? Am I living that life that God would have me live? Are we concerned about the kingdom of God? You know, when you look back in the Gospels and you see Jesus Christ calling His disciples, He didn't say, acknowledge me. He didn't say, recognize me. He said, follow me. Follow me. That requires action on our part, doesn't it? For us to say that we are to be followers of Christ, that we live for Christ, and every day we look and say, what do I need to do to be a follower of Christ this day? Or we can put it another way. Are you known in your circles to be a follower of Christ? Are you known among your friends, among your family, in your neighborhood, to be a follower of Christ? That's important. That's important that we are followers, that we are living for Jesus, that we're not acknowledging Jesus. There's a number of people that will acknowledge the historical personhood of Jesus Christ. The Bible even says that demons believe and tremble, but we are to live for Jesus. We're not to acknowledge Jesus. It reminds me of that old wonderful hymn, Living for Jesus. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free, this is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou and Thine atonement did give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give. Henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Will you join me in prayer, please? Father, this morning as we celebrate Resurrection Day, I just pray that we would all ask ourselves if we are truly followers of Christ. I pray, Lord, that our identity would be with Jesus, that we would surrender all of our will and focus on the life that we have in Christ. I pray that You would give us the boldness to proclaim our belief in a world that does not know you. I also pray, Lord, that if there is someone here this morning who's never given their life to you, that they'd come to a saving knowledge of you this morning, that they'd place their faith in you, that they'd recognize that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave for us. And through that simple faith of turning our life over to Christ and asking for forgiveness of sins, that they would have new life today through Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.